Please remember that the Lucy Pod is not a replacement for professional medical advice. If you have questions or concerns about your own amazing brain, please speak to a medical professional. I'd also like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which I speak to you all today, the peoples of the Kulin Nation. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. Welcome back to the Lucy Pod. I hope that you are all well and are staying safe. Today, I have a guest joining me to talk about all things ADHD. Please welcome Colleen Florendo to the pod. Hi, Colleen. How are you?
Hi, Lucy. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here and just, you know, speak about ADHD. And yeah, let's see where it goes.
Sounds good. So before we get into it, tell us about yourself, plug your Instagram, tell us about what you do, who you are, and your interests.
For sure. So you can find me at I am Colleen Florendo. I think Lucy will drop my Instagram handle in the show notes.
I will.
I'm a copywriter and I run my own business. Yeah, I was diagnosed with ADHD. 4 years. What is 2020? That's 4 years.
Yeah. That's 4 years. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Neither. I'm like, yeah, it's yeah, it could be 4 years. We don't know.
Yeah. Something. There was some time jump somewhere in between. But yeah, and that's pretty much, I'd love to share a bit more about, yeah, my ADHD throughout the conversation that we're having today. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, you actually did something I was already going to ask. I asked my guests a series of questions to get us warmed up. And mm-hmm. The first one was, when were you diagnosed with ADHD? And you said about 4 years ago. So, tick, you answered that. The next question I have is, what are your current hyperfixations or special interests?
Oh, my God. I love that question. Okay. So, I'm kind of obsessed with human design right now.
Okay. Tell me more.
You've heard of it. So it's basically like, I would say it's similar to like your zodiac signs, but on a whole other level.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm kind of obsessed with downloading all the ebooks I'll never read, taking all the quizzes and like seeing if like someone says something different. Yeah, so that's my hyperfixation right now. And
I love
basically
it.
The new Taylor Swift album.
Oh, so. Yes. So are you're a Swiftie?
Yes. I was like, I'm a senior Swiftie.
You're a senior Swiftie. Well, you know what's so funny? I was on Threads and there's a ADHD Threads section and they were like, I think there's like should be a term for people who are ADHD and obsessed with Taylor Swift because I'm seeing a lot of that right now. So apparently a lot of people with ADHD love Taylor Swift. So that's like a new thing now. Swifties, but they're ADHD and they're just hyperfixating on her album. I love it. The third question I have is, what is an ADHD trait that you feel is unique to you, like one that you don't feel that many people have, which just could be a you thing, but you'd like to think like, that's my ADHD. And it's like, makes me unique.
Oh, that's so interesting. That's a really good question. I think I would say I'm very unique at seeing patterns.
Interesting.
I don't know if that's a unique thing, but I see patterns a lot in terms of like, I mean, it makes sense with my copywriter background.
Yeah.
That I kind of see patterns in people's verbiage and the way in their voice. So that's easy for me to catch.
Interesting. Seeing patterns, which that's really interesting because I find like so many ADHDers would miss out on pattern recognition because we're focused on so many other things. Like I'm really bad with seeing patterns because of my dyscalculia. So that's very interesting that you can see them and it's such a useful skill to have. People think like, I don't need pattern recognition, but it's so important because everything has a pattern. It's so good for your brain. So that's
easy
skill
as well because we skip through stuff, right? You're
yes.
reading something and you skip through stuff and then it's like,
yes.
oh, and then it's just, and then and I you see
a pattern. That's very cool.
Yeah.
I'm jealous now. Yeah. I'm jealous. I want that ADHD trait. I want that pattern recognition. All right. So let's get into it. So the first question I have is, so I interview a lot of people who are like from Australia or North America, and I like to learn about how ADHD is perceived, where they're from and their context. So if I'm not mistaken, you're based in Stockholm in Sweden, right?
Yes.
So tell me, what's it like being ADHD over there? What's it like with your background being ADHD? How is that perceived? Tell me.
Yeah. Okay. So I think, interesting question. So I don't know if you know this, but I moved to Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
Same time I got diagnosed with my ADHD.
There you go. So 4 years ago. So okay.
Like, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I know enough about the language to be able to like say what they're, you know, what's being said about people with ADHD. But I think one thing I did notice is that, like, you know, when a kid is showing a certain sign of having ADHD, then they're always like, oh, maybe they have ADHD. You know, it's always like, if they're showing something different, the irregular, then the assumption is like they have like
that they're on the spectrum
or something.
And is that in a positive way?
The spectrum.
And is it in a positive way? Like, oh, they're on the spectrum, or it's like, oh, they're ADHD and they're on the spectrum.
I think it was just like factual, like maybe. So I think that was something I noticed. But that's just, I don't know enough about the language to be able to like make a like concrete observation. But I think if I can speak for where I came from, which is the Philippines, that is much easier for me. I think not a lot of people, I think since the main, like, what's the word, like mechanism like doctors use are geared towards, you know, ADHD in boys.
Yes. And then,
with girls, it's not like dominant.
Yeah.
And so when I was diagnosed at like 29, I'm old.
You're not old. You're not old. We'll blur that out. We'll blur that out. It's like, I don't want people to know my age.
Bleep it. So, right. So it's like, and the thing is, my parents actually had me diagnosed as a kid because they were doctors. So like, of course we went through like all the tests.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So, but it didn't show. So it's interesting to see that people aren't really, like, no one really talks about neurodivergency in the Philippines. Like, it's not commonplace.
Common.
Even so mental health, I think, is still, like, slowly being, like, accepted or, like, you know, opened up.
Yeah.
So,
I think there's that stereotype. No, it does. There's that stereotype. Like, I even hear from friends of all, like, backgrounds specifically. I hear from, like, because I'm half Italian, I hear from, like, Italian friends and Greek friends, and then I hear from Chinese friends, Filipino friends. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, like, ethnic parents, like, we just don't talk about mental health. We don't talk about neurodivergence. Mm-hmm. Like, if I tell my mum I'm depressed, she's like, you're on your phone too much. And it's like, no, I actually, like, have a depression, mum. Like, and there's that sort of stereotype, and it's just not really talked about, whereas with boys, like, it's more like, yeah, like, he has ADHD and the mechanism are sort of set up for them. So I'm wondering if it was missed in you because maybe they were looking for traits that are seen in boys, or it just didn't show up. Because sometimes testing too early is ineffective, but it's really interesting that it did not show up. I find that fascinating, but it's awesome your parents got you tested and all of that, and they're both doctors, so they're probably, they knew what they were doing.
Because my diagnosis was an accidental diagnosis. So I was like, having a call with like a psychologist because it was the pandemic.
Yeah, of course. We all had a psychologist. We all needed one after the pandemic. Yes.
Yeah. So, and then she's like, do you mind taking this like test? I just wanted to say something. So I do have, I do have the inattentive ADHD.
Same.
So I think they're always looking for the hyper, the like,
boisterous, right? Intense, like,
intense, and like
it's like not a lot of people.
No, I could never like stay with one radio station for like 30 minutes or like even less. So that should have been like a flag of like, you know, having an inattentive ADHD. And I struggle a lot with the focusing. And
of course.
Yeah. So it was really interesting. And I think I felt angry at first. Like, why didn't you guys catch it, you know? Right. But then I think that gave me like the permission slip to be like, okay, nothing's wrong with me. Like,
no, it's true. I think a diagnosis can be like that. Even if it happens late, you then finally go, oh my God, this is why I was so weird. Yeah. This is why I'm so not normal, but not in a bad way now. It's like now I can put as to why I'm so odd.
Yeah.
I'm not dumb. I'm not crazy. I don't have something terrible with me. I just have ADHD, and it just, you feel so much you feel so much better. So thank you for sharing that. I want to talk about more about your feelings about so being diagnosed. So you said you felt angry at first, obviously, because you were like, how did you miss this? Afterwards, how did you feel? What were the next step? Did you go on medication? Did you implement things? What was the, how did you feel and what happened afterwards?
I don't think I did anything in particular, because I think when I spoke to the person that diagnosed me, she's like, it seems like you created your own system for yourself, because at such a later stage, like she said, like people with ADHD usually take longer to finish college.
Yeah.
And like, I've done it on time. I've also taken like grad school, which is like
awesome.
I was like, girl, I don't know how I finished that. Like,
but you finished it.
I really don't remember anything.
it's all a haze. You're like,
I don't remember.
No, I don't remember how I finished my degree. I'm like, did I? Am I sure? Like, I look at my diploma up on, I've got it framed. I'm like, did I do that? Who was that?
Yeah. So like, we have all these like coping mechanisms to survive in such a, you know, world where nothing's really built for us. So I didn't really feel like a need to take medication. I think the only thing that I've like kind of brought into my like routine is I take lion's mane.
What is that?
Maybe you're familiar. So it's like a mushroom tincture, and it helps with focus.
Lion's mane, it's a type of mushroom.
It's a type of mushroom.
And that helps you but is it like... Is it like mushrooms, like fun mushrooms? Or is it just
like... No, it's not. It's legal mushrooms.
I like mushrooms. I like to be focused. So that's what you... So how often do you take that?
I usually take it when I have like lots of stuff to write and I'm just like, let's just hammer it out, you know? Stop avoiding it.
Oh, interesting. So where do you get this lion's mane from?
I think one good thing about like one of my favorite things about Sweden is like they're really open to like more herbal,
they're cool,
ritual stuff. Yeah.
They're cool.
So,
they want this. Oh, that's really interesting. Okay. And so you don't feel like you need medication. You're like, I have my systems. I have my lion's mane mushroom. I'm good to go. You don't feel like you need meds. That's awesome.
Yeah. Or like, it was never really like, I think the reason why I never considered it, because I think I've created my own systems and maybe like, I don't know who I'll be. So there's a fear in me. Like, I don't know who I'll be with the meds. So there's that, like, I was like, I think I'm good.
Yeah.
But I'm very open to medication.
Like, yeah, but if it's working for you, it's working for you. That's what I say to people who are, like, critical of people who take meds or who don't. It's, like, it's whatever works.
Yeah.
If you're not taking meds works, God bless. If not taking meds works, then God bless. Like, it just shouldn't matter. It just should be whatever works for people.
It shouldn't matter.
Know?
Yeah.
And if you want to try it, you try. And if you don't, you don't want to. It's really quite simple. And people make it more complicated than it needs to be. The next question I had was, so I want to know more about your job. You're a copywriter, which immediately makes me think of the show Mad Men with my favorite character, Peggy, who's a copywriter. She's such a slay. So I want to know about what is a copywriter and how do you manage, because you're self-employed, right? You're freelance, you're doing it all on your own. So how do you do that and hold yourself accountable? whilst also managing the ADHD? Because I'm sure you've got your systems and you've got your mushroom, but there's obviously other stuff that you're doing. So tell me about your job and how do you do it? Because it's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. So I think I love Mad Men.
Like, it's such a good show.
They're the OG.
Oh, yeah. It's so good.
I just hated all the, like...
The men?
The men stuff. Yeah.
You hated the sexism. When people watch it, they're like, it was really sexist. I'm like, yeah, that's, like, the point of the show. Like, it's to talk about sexism. Like, the ads were just kind of, like, 1% of the show, and the rest, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
It's about sexism.
Yeah. But copywriters were, like, eating it up. Like,
yes. Oh, my God.
Funniest show for us.
Literally, when I watched it, I was like, I'm going to be a copywriter. I don't know what that entails, but I'm going to be like Peggy. Like, I'm just going to be her. I don't know what degree I need, but I will be her. I was like 17 when I first watched it. I was like, I'm going to do that.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I love that. That is so funny. But it's interesting because, like, you know, my degree is not related to copywriting at all.
What did you do?
I took up economics and...
Oh, my God.
Business administration. So. I know. I don't know how I became a math girl because, like, now I'm like...
What's 2020? You're like, what's 2020? It was 4 years ago. We don't know. But economics is more like philosophical, I find. It's not math. It's more like...
There's a lot of math.
Oh, okay. See, I don't know what I'm trying. Like, it's more philosophical. Like, no, it's actually math.
I wish. No.
But you did it.
It was really math-based.
Yeah.
To create, like, models for, like, stuff. Like, math models. So I was like, I don't know how the fuck I did it.
But you did it.
Yeah, and now I'm a copywriter. And I think that's the thing that, like, so when I was diagnosed, I was, like, kind of, like, I quit my job. Well, everyone was, like, worrying about their job. I was, like, shit. My brain cannot handle the pandemic and just being at home and just everything.
So it was rough.
I was doing freelance writing at that time. I used to write blogs. So nice. I started as a blog writer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know how I got into copywriting. And I think maybe I had an ad, like an ad found me. And I was like, oh, it sounds interesting. And I guess copywriting, like, is basically the blend of, like, it's an art and science of communicating to get people to move, take action, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically what I do is I write for people. Mm-hmm. I combine their, you know, their own unique self-expression and their audiences to make a copy or, like, messaging that will really, like, resonate with people, basically.
So you're like a creative and good AI, but you're real and smart. You're
And I don't write fast.
And you don't write fast. But you're like, and I mean this in a good way, like, you're like, we don't want ChatGPT because it sounds like ChatGPT. We want someone who has flair and talent and is not just being fed prompts. Yeah. So you're Peggy from Mad Men. You're Peggy.
So basically, that's
awesome. That's fantastic. I love that. So how do you run your business? How do you do it? How do you do it all? Because whenever I hear people say they're self-employed, I'm like, if... I couldn't. I admire them.
It took a lot of, like, trial and error. I think as ADHD, we're not afraid of trial and error, you know? We're just like, okay, I might burn myself out with this process, but, you know, at least I'll find out. I don't like
it. And it was fun.
But I think, like, that's one thing I learned is, like, at first I was, like, just copying everyone's, like, model, business model, like, how other copywriters would create their services and stuff like that. And I was like, this is so boring. I was like, I'm so bored. I don't want to write fucking websites all the time. And I was just like, it took me forever to niche down. So one of the first steps that usually people tell you to in the business world, it's like, oh, you niche down. I was like, fuck that shit, no. But I unintentionally, like, gravitated to business coaches, you know, to talk about all the sales they make and stuff like that.
Yes.
And then last year I was like, I'm so tired for writing for business coaches. I couldn't anymore. I was just like, just writing the same shit over and over again. And then, you know, I kind of reflected on who I am. And I think that like introspection is something, like, you know, us ADHDers kind of do, like, reflect a lot about our stuff. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm soulful but not spiritual.
I'm
badass, mm-hmm. but like badass seems so masculine. I don't know. So I was like, okay, maybe I'll just like, I think I'm a soulful baddie.
Yeah.
And I started like just
being that.
Speaking that. And then my clients were like, they started calling themselves baddies. So I was like,
I have my fans. I found my following. Like,
yeah.
The baddies.
Yeah. So just like, yeah. It's a long, I think since all of like the business courses out there are built for non-neurodivergence.
Yeah. Of course.
It was hard to like just peel away from all the fucking systems, all the shoulds.
Yes.
Yes. So like late last year was kind of like my aha moment to like just lean into, you know, whatever excites me. And then combined with my knowledge of my human design, it kind of like gave me that like huge fucking permission stuff to just, you know, damned if I do, damned if I don't, you know.
Unapologetic.
Right? Yeah.
Unapologetic. I really like that. So how does your ADHD positively impact your work, which I think you already touched on, the fact that like we're not afraid of trial and error and ADHDs can just produce so much. Like you give mm-hmm. me a prompt, I will write you a book. I will write you a trilogy within a week. It might not be the best trilogy, but it'll be really enjoyable. Like we have an ability to just produce and think up of new things. And if it doesn't go well, we're like, I'm happy to restart. I'll delete this whole Word document and it's fine. Most people are like, oh my God, I could never like restart. Like that would drive me crazy. I'm like, well, I definitely can. So what else do you find like that your ADHD positively impacts? How else do people feel more comfortable coming to you? Or are they like, no, I like don't want to go to a copywriter who's like ADHD. Like I don't want that. How does it impact the work and people's perception?
Yeah, no, actually like, I think at some point I was going to name myself as the neurodivergent copywriter.
Nice.
I almost did that. But I think my ADHD was like, oh, then you're boxing yourself in and stuff. Yes. And then I was like, I don't want to just be boxed in.
And typecast. So I think
Yeah, exactly. And then I think how my ADHD has helped me is like, I can see things that people don't, you know? Which is like such a unique superpower. I think not a lot of like people like speak about. It's like so it's so funny. Like I think I don't know, not an analogy, maybe a story. So there's an ice cream truck in Sweden that goes around, and it looks like a goat with big horns. What's it called? I forgot.
A ram.
You know, that's like, yeah, a ram.
A ram, yeah.
So yeah, I was like, why is the ice cream truck looking like a uterus?
I just
like, wait, what?
See, I'm thinking of like a horror movie, like a Swedish horror film of like a thing with, and you're like, looks like a uterus. So that shows you where we are. I watch too much true crime. I don't know what you're watching. Too much anatomy stuff. I'm thinking, why does it look like a uterus? That's funny.
I was like, why does it look like a uterus? But I think like my point of this is like, we see things from such a unique lens.
Yes. Yes.
And that has helped, like my client can just share like a conversation with me of how, you know, what went down with her and someone else in the DMs or whatever. Mm. And I could like spit it into, you know, a content angle immediately.
Yes.
So I think that has really like helped me a lot. Mm. And at first I was like, how do I teach them to see through my eyes?
Yes,
you know?
It's so hard because it's like just you try to explain it to people and they're like, but then when the finished product is there, they're like, oh. So I always say, this is what I think. I'm not explaining further, and then I'll do it and they're like, oh, I see it. But I can't explain it because people don't get it. Well, neurotypicals don't get it. Yeah. They think you're being strange. They're like, yeah, that's cute. Like, oh, yeah, you think that, like, that's really nice. You're like, just wait until it's done and then it'll make sense to you. Just wait and then you'll see that it's a uterus on an ice cream truck. I want to see a picture of this ice cream truck. After we get off, I want to see what this ice cream truck is with a ram.
I'll send it to you on Instagram.
What marketing is that? Like, we have an ice cream truck and it's an ice cream, like, on top of it, like a little cartoon ice cream, and it plays, like, fun music. Not a ram. Does ice cream come from rams? I just want to know. We don't know. And do you find that people like the, do you tell people your ADHD, or does it just like, it doesn't matter? Like, you don't feel the need to disclose it when you're doing business with them? Like, it's not, or do you want to tell
them? No, I think when I do talk about it, I would actually talk about it on my stories instead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of like just informing them, because I feel like it's not
relevant.
I don't see it as a disability.
No.
Yeah. So like, I don't really tell people if they ask me it. I don't mind. I'm proud of it. Disclosing.
That's good. And how does ADHD negatively impact your work? Because even if we're really good at our jobs, which I know you are, it has moments where you're like, yeah, I'm just not doing the best. This isn't working.
I forget a lot.
Same. Don't we all?
So if it's not on my calendar,
it's not happening.
I've missed meetings because I didn't do the. Thank God for ad events, the calendar, whoever created that shit.
Yes.
Like, thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Like, thank you.
Thank you so much. Whoever invented it.
Yeah.
Love you.
Thank you. Yeah. So, yeah, if it's not on my calendar, I would forget about it. If it's not on my to-do list, I would forget about it.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty old school. I have, like, this big-ass, like, weekly thing where I write my to-do list.
Nice.
I can't do digital to-do list. I can't. Like, I would.
Yeah, it's hard. Like, I can do calendars. Like, I can do digital calendars. But if it's a to-do list, I need to write it down. And then I can put it on the computer or on my phone. But if I don't write it down, it, like, it's not happening. Like, it's not real. I have to put pen to paper. Yeah, I'm the same.
Yeah.
I am the same.
And I also have, like, issues, I think, not really in my business, but when I was studying.
Mm.
I had to use a specific like highlighter and pen. If I didn't have it, I'm not gonna learn anything.
You're like, I forgot it. Today. I'm wagging class. I'm not showing up. It's like, can't you just go get it? No, I can't. I will not be doing that.
No, I just can't. I don't know.
The other thing I was going to ask, because so you primarily work with like social media, right? Like it's mainly media and online. So does working on social media ever impact your ADHD? Like I know when I'm on my Lucy Pod account and I'm doing like the podcast stuff and I'm, you know, doing all of that, I am focused on just putting out my content, my podcast, but I do go down a rabbit hole because it's social media and it's not good for me. Like I had to delete TikTok because it just was not good for me. How do you maintain that balance? Because I'm sure there's moments where you're like, I'm doing work. And then you're like, this really looks fun, but it's for work. How do you do it? How do you manage those distractions?
Oh my God, that's so funny. Because like, I get distracted easily. So I think it's just literally like giving myself like deadlines has been kind of like working, but like, enough ample room to enough wiggle room to like fuck around.
Basically. The next thing I was going to ask you is how do you give yourself accommodations? Because I know that in certain workplaces, like you can ask for accommodations, people, you know, you can get extensions, you can get all of that. But when you're self-employed, it's you giving yourself those. So you're saying you give yourself like a deadline, but it's like.
Yeah.
It's good enough so that.
So I give myself a week usually to write stuff.
That's good.
So I have time for market research and then a few like days to just let that simmer.
Mm.
It's like, although I see patterns, I usually like wait for stuff to land for me.
Yep.
I'm just like, I think I just need time to like get on the information and not just straight ahead in writing. So I do have like a lot of wiggle room. Unlike before, it was just like, you know, my schedule was filled to the brim with like writing work and I was just so fucking overstimulated all the time.
Yeah.
I also deleted my TikTok. I used to have TikTok Tuesdays, but it ended up being TikTok Tuesdays to Thursdays.
Phase, yeah.
So I just couldn't. I was just like, let's just.
It's so bad. Like, I don't want to sound like a boomer and like, oh, social, but it's so bad, TikTok. It is just so bad. I don't think people realize, not even for just ADHDers, but just people in general, they're going to do a long-term study and it's going to be found that TikTok is just, it's not good for you.
Yeah.
It's so addictive.
Yeah, aren't they banning it in the US? There was some news.
I know. Let's hope they do. People were shocked. I'm like, I don't believe in banning, like, well, it depends on what it is, but I'm actually really okay if they ban it, and I would love it if they banned it here. Yeah. Like, sorry, no offense to anyone doing TikTok. Like, people are like, I can make a living on that. You can do it on Reels. I just think we shouldn't use it.
Yeah.
It's a terrible app. Yeah,
I think it's just, like...
It's just, disgusting. It's disgusting.
I've been practicing not doing social media on weekends or, like, you know, for my business as well.
Yes.
So I'm working with, like, a coach who really, you know, just live my life during weekends. Because I do have a tendency to, like, I am hyper fixated on my business, you could say.
Yeah, of course.
Because I think my entire, like, career life, I was, like, I got so bored easily. Like, I would stay at a job for, like, max 3 years.
That's pretty good.
I'm bored.
That's pretty good, though. Like, 3 years is pretty good. Like, most agents is like, I did it for a week and I got bored. So 3 years is, like, really, really, really good. I thought you were going to say 3 months. I'm like, 3 years is good. But, yeah, go on. So 3 years, bored, then.
Yeah, and then I was kind of like, for the first time, I was like, I actually like what I'm doing.
That's so good.
Yeah, but that's then nice. I'm like, okay, but I can't be obsessed with it. I need, like, to live my life. And, like, so yesterday I was on the train and I was just like, okay, I have nothing. I'm not touching my phone. So I'm just sitting down on the train like, you know, a person from, like, the 70s. I'm just like, and then everyone was just like.
Yeah, like drooling. Like, it's like, and I'm the same. Like, I know in the morning. You know?
Yeah,
it's like, it's so hard. Get off. It's called rotting. I call it rotting. I have, like, rot mornings where I'll just be on my phone in the morning, and it's terrible because the minute I do that, I don't take my meds. I forget to take my meds. Mm. And I know that the day is going to be shocking. So I try not to go on my phone in the morning, but it happens, you know. But I think that's really good. The next thing I was going to ask you, so – with the accommodation, so you give yourselves accommodations and whatnot. So where did you study, and was your uni like, wait, so no, because you wouldn't have been, wait, when you were diagnosed 4 years ago, right? But you weren't studying. Yeah, when did you finish studying, or were you still studying?
Finished studying. No. Oh my God, are you going to ask me like an age?
No, not an age. Because I'm trying to ask if like that, like your university would have been supportive of accommodations, or when you've worked in the past whilst being ADHD, were people understanding? What's the access like in the Philippines? What's access like to psychologists and medication and support in Sweden? That sort of thing. Like,
I think like, I don't think the school would have been accommodating, I would say. Workplace-wise, I don't think as well. Because, like, I did work in an advertising agency similar to Peggy. I was like, I work in an agency, but fuck no. I'm never going back. It was just, like,
toxic.
We were, like, worked to the bones. And, like, and everyone has bad habits because it's the only way to, like, release stress and stuff.
Of course.
Yeah, so I would say like, even if you're like saying you're drowning, because like I think we get easily drowned with stuff, I feel like we just have to like, you know,
push through.
Power through it.
Push
know?
Through.
Yeah.
Yeah, you I yeah, know you can do it.
For one day. I just need you for one day. I need you for life, you know? So that's an interesting question. But like I think I did have like a tutor who was like, I'm not a tutor, like in class. So I was taking up Swedish classes. And then they were like, if anyone is neurodivergent here, you know, let me know so I can. But then they kind of gamified the class, which was good.
That's so nice.
So I don't know if that's the same in regular schools, but I felt like
that's really nice. I don't think I've ever heard that. Like, even at my uni, which is like they're very good. Like if you tell them you have a disability or you've got a learning difficulty, they give you accommodations straight away. But yeah. Teachers never start off by being like, and if anyone here is neurodivergent, which I don't think they don't do it because they're bad or they don't care, but they just don't do it. So that's really nice that they said like, oh, yeah. If anyone's neurodivergent and you don't have to make that step because some people are embarrassed or don't want to talk about it, they've made it so that, you know, oh, I can bring it up with this person and it's not uncomfortable. Yeah. That's so nice. Yeah. Oh, that's sweet. Yeah. I like that. And what's access like? Like we here in Australia, we have a bit of a problem. We had a big problem with waiting lines with psychologists, like trying to get diagnosed. Like people were being told it could be up to 12 months. We don't know when you'll get diagnosed. It's the same?
Yeah, it's the same in Sweden. So when I did tell them I have ADHD, they were like, yeah, we could see it, like the inattentive one, but we can't like just go off of like someone else's diagnosis from the Philippines. We have to make our own diagnosis. So I was like, okay. And then they were like, okay, I have to do this and that. And I was just like, it might take a year. And I was like,
but you have my diagnosis. That's sketchy. It's like, we don't accept that card here.
Yeah.
Why would I claim it? Like, in the Philippines for fun. Like I just, in the Philippines, I got diagnosed for fun. They lied. And then I came here and I met. Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
So that part was a bit weird. I was like, I don't need to get diagnosed anymore. Like I.
You know.
Yeah, I'm already. I just accepted it. Thanks.
That's, yeah, like just take my money, take the bank transfer. Like don't say you don't accept this currency. Just take it. Like I've given it to you. I'm saying I'm ADHD. Here's the proof. That's weird to me. That's so strange. Like usually it's enough. Like for medication, it's a bit different. Like I think they need to assess because it's got health implications and whatnot. Like I'm pretty sure here if you were to come or anyone were to come and they were diagnosed with ADHD and they wanted to be medicated, they would still have to go through a test, which I guess is fair enough health-wise, but to just be viewed as ADHD, like that's enough if you've got a diagnosis elsewhere. Like
Yeah.
You've got the diagnosis, you are, that's fine.
I didn't invent stuff and be like, oh, yeah, on TikTok it said I have ADHD and therefore.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Or like I looked at a star sign and it said I was. It's like, no, that's not, that's not what happened. Yeah. So, okay, that's a very, very, that's so strange to me. I find that bizarre. I want to talk more about, before we talk more about social media and that aspect, so you said to me that you didn't feel like you were capable of anything when you, you know, had your diagnosis and now you've got this awesome business that you're running. Talk to me more about that because a lot of the time I feel like when we hear ADHD stories, they're very sad and I think there's a place for sad ADHD stories because not everyone has a good time with it. But it's so much better to hear about good stories and how it's not dark forever. And I don't want to be corny, but it is not horrible forever. So can you tell us about that? Because I think people should hear it. It makes people feel better.
Yeah, no, for sure. So I think, like, as with any ADHDer, like, we've always felt like the oddball out. Like, you're like, why am I just not motivated enough, you know? Everyone's like rising the fucking like corporate ladder in life needs speed and I'm just like trying to get through my day, you know?
I'm just trying to get through the day's to-do list.
Yeah. Of course. And I'm just like frustrated. Like
you feel behind. You're like, I'm always catching up. Yeah. You're always catching up. Yeah. And it's like I'm never gonna catch up. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah, and it just feels like, you know, that life's just maybe this life is not for me, you know? And like even now when I share like my business with my family, they're just like, dude, we're like so shocked because like you never showed, like even my friends from uni, they're like, they were so shocked that like you never showed any interest in, you know, career-wise.
But I did, like, just not in the way you wanted. Like,
exactly. I was like, yeah, but like it's so interesting to hear that they're like, you've grown so much. And I don't think I've grown. I think it's just always been inside of me. But since I was like you know, boxed in such a like rigid place. There was just no room for it. And, you know, I think, yeah, like my ADHD was like my best, like I would say the silver lining during the pandemic, because I was like, oh, okay, finally, like one thing makes sense now, at least one part of my life makes sense. And I'm just not scared anymore, you know? And that's just, I think that's why I'm like, it's so hard to like decentralize from my business. And everyone's like, oh, you know, you don't have any, enough motivation, enough desire to succeed. And I'm like, watch.
No, I do. And it's not because you feel like you have to prove yourself. It's not that, but it's just, it's innate. It's so weird because it's nice when you hear people say, oh, you've grown so much, but it also is a bit insulting when they're so shocked. Like when you tell people and they're like, you're doing that? Like, it's like, what did you think I was, like, where did you think I was going to end up? Like, like, I was going to be fun. Like, even when I used to go back to my primary school where my teachers said to me, you won't amount to anything. You'll be a checkout chick, which there's nothing wrong with being a checkout chick, but they weren't saying it for that reason. They were trying to be, you know, horrible. Yeah. And when I would tell them, oh, you know, they'd ask me, oh, how are you in high school? Did you make it out of high school? And I'd say, yeah, I'm, you know, choir captain and this and singing and I'm doing that. And they would say, this is like a different person. Like, are you sure? Why couldn't you have been like that beforehand? That's crazy. Oh my goodness. It's like, because I had a teacher like you. So I had you as a teacher. That's why I was unable. And it's like so rude because they're so shocked. And it's like, I always had it in me. You just didn't invest. And I know you had 20 other students to worry about, but you know.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I think it's the same in like the business world. It's like really be careful who you want to learn from or who you listen to. Like, you know, like, like those teachers you had, they weren't invested in you.
No.
It's just so scary. Like, imagine children, like.
That's terrible.
That should be like a rigid, like, system in place to qualify, like, for a teacher, because, you know, that's early year formation, subconscious mind and whatever, like.
Like they always say, your brain is a sponge when you're little. And thank God I was a resilient kid and I had great parents and it was fine. That didn't affect me. But I think, imagine if you said that to the wrong child. Not the wrong child, but just a different child.
Yeah. Imagine like how their life would have turned out if they were someone that really took it to heart.
And had other issues. It could have been, you know, it could be catastrophic. So I completely agree. And you said you have did you say you have a coach or did I mishear that? You said something about a coach.
Yeah. So I have multiple coaches I'm working with.
Are they ADHD coaches or they're business coaches?
So I do work with a couple. Some are like leadership coaches. Some are, one of them is a business coach. I have one for like, she's a mindset and hypnosis coach. Yeah.
Oh my God. So what's a hypno coach? The other ones are cool, but the hypno coach sounds way more interesting. So tell me about what does a hypno coach do? Do they hypnotize you into doing your work? I need that.
I wish, but I think it's more like they really help you like ingrain certain beliefs you have about yourself. So I think one of the things I struggle with the most is imposter syndrome.
Yes.
I think it was like, oh shit, like all my life I've been told, you know, I'm not good at something. And then, you know, suddenly I'm running a whole business and
it's too good to be true. It's
kind of hard to get out to the, it's too good to be true. So I was like, I need someone to like just help me for the next 6 months to really like just, you know, anchor in that belief and stuff. So
that's awesome. So how do they do? So they help you do, so how would they do that? Is it through hypnosis? Is it through, like, I'm fascinated. So how do they ingrain those like positive beliefs that you have about yourself? How do they do it?
Yeah. So she does it through hypnotherapy. So So it's really getting you to a relaxed state where your mind is more open to receiving these new tones, I would say.
Mm.
Yeah, so we're starting actually this May, but I've done her like pre-recorded ones. And I was like, is it normal to be falling asleep? Like, I was like, I haven't heard the whole thing, like, while I'm awake. And she's, it's actually good that you're a bit like, it means you're relaxed as you fall asleep.
You feel comfortable enough to fall asleep.
Yeah.
That's, I love that.
I'm failing at this. I'm failing.
She hypnotized me to sleep. I feel like hypnosis wouldn't work on me. I feel like hypnosis wouldn't work on me. I feel like, even meditation, I mean, I haven't tried it because I feel like every time I, like in high school, and God bless them, we would have like mindfulness classes where like we'd have to do mindfulness and they'd say, make your brain empty, hear nothing. I'm like, okay, well, that's just not, like, that's so rude. Like, don't, like, that's so disrespectful.
Never say that to an ADHD.
Like, excuse me, like, make sure your brain is clear. You know what? Go fuck yourself. Don't tell me my brain is clear. Like, don't talk to me like that. And they would walk around and we'd be like, picture an ocean. It's like, fuck you. I'm picturing 1,000 oceans. Like, go to hell. And now I'm thinking about something else. It's so cruel. So I feel like hypnosis would just not, would not work on me, but maybe I should try it. Is that a Sweden thing, like hypnosis cool, or is it like popular in general, or is it something that like you found?
I think it was more like I had a client approach me, so I write for her, and then
awesome.
I don't know. And then there was this other girl who was also like a service provider, so we used to like, she didn't do copywriting, but she was an OBM, which was like, she manages the business and stuff for, awesome, for you. And then she combined and then she became a business coach. And then I did hypnotherapy or something. And I was like, that's so cool. Because I was like, I've been doing a lot of like inner work, like somatics as well. I don't know if you're familiar with somatic work.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, but I can regulate my nervous system, but my beliefs are still there, you know, something's missing.
Of course.
So I think that's just kind of how, I think I was going for a more holistic approach to my business this year,
mm-hmm,
versus, strategy, you know, it's like, I have all the strategies in the world. I don't need that. Sure, I need some refinements and finessing in my structures and funnels, but I was like, but it's more a me issue, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't want to call myself an issue.
No, but it's a me thing. It's a thing. Yeah. If you don't want to call it an issue. Yeah, I get that. And have you done, do you do therapy as well? If you don't mind me asking, like, do you go to therapy? Mm-hmm. Do you think that's something you need? Because a lot of ADHD is like, I, for the longest time, was like, I don't feel like I need therapy. I only need therapy if something is upsetting me. And for me, I always viewed therapy as something I did in the path to get diagnosed, because I had to go to so many doctors, so many psychs to do all the testing, and they were fine, but I don't need it. I'm very good with, I don't want to say the people who go to therapy aren't good with their emotions, but like I can probably sort things out. If something's really bothering me and something's getting really big, I will seek therapy. But for most of the time, I think I'm okay. Mm. How do you feel about therapy? Is it something you need a lot of, or like not at all? Or therapy is great, by the way. Even if you don't do it, therapy is awesome. So how do you feel about it?
Yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, like, I go through seasons where I need it.
Yeah.
And seasons when I don't. So that's just...
Yeah.
And I think, like, you know, people should, like, see it as the like seasons. The seasons are so like, it just shows you like in nature, right? Yep. Nature is cyclical.
Yep.
And I feel like nothing should be like everyone's, for example, I attended Elizabeth Gilbert's, you know her? The girl that wrote Eat, Pray, Love.
Oh, Slay. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. That's cool. Yep. So I saw her and she was like talking about people's, you know, living a purpose-driven life and stuff. And that's common in the, you know, the business world, finding your purpose. And
yes.
And I think at first I was like, fuck, what do I do with my life? Because she said it's egocentric.
Yeah.
Which I get. But also I was like, okay, maybe that could be her truth right now. Maybe that could be her truth tomorrow, you know?
Yes.
So it's just like, you know, I'm in a season where I think I want to find my purpose. Mm. Or I'm in a season where
I don't need to.
I want to take therapy.
Yeah. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. So
yep.
Like people, yep. It's not set in stone. There's no, I feel like people take things too seriously, or like everything's forever. Like
everything. And know. I think people don't realize, and I hope no one misconstrues this, feelings are just feelings. And when I say that, people are like, but what about people with depression? It's like, we're not talking about people with clinical conditions. I would never say to someone who's got clinical depression, you're just depressed. That's just a feeling. Like, I would never say that. But just in general, feelings are just feelings. Feelings are so unreliable because they are so fleeting. And I think especially with ADHDers, like, I can be enraged in one moment and then you say one other thing and I'm happy and chill, which people are thinking, girl, that sounds like you're bipolar. It's like, no, I'm not bipolar.
Yeah.
And that's a silly stereotype. But feelings are so fleeting and temporary, and we put far too much stock into how we feel, and everything we feel has to be because of this. If I feel this way, it's because I'm this. And if I don't feel that way, it's like, it's okay. Like, just calm down the noise. I think that's why therapy is good and bad. I think therapy can help you just, you're not crazy, you're feeling this way, it's temporary, you're fine. But it can also be really good with like managing feelings that aren't going away, that are probably indicative of something else, but they are a season.
Yeah,
they are always changing.
Yeah,
and not one day is the same. When it's winter, it's not always raining, it's not always snowing. So I think emotions are the same way. I think people need to realize that. But therapy is great. People should go to it. But yeah, I don't feel the need to go. Like during the pandemic, I went a lot because I was very angry about the pandemic. And looking back, it was a bit entitled because compared to other people and what they were going through, I had it pretty good. But I dealt with a lot of like anger of like, why is this happening? Like, it's not fair. I have to do my degree alone. And it was just repetitive bad thoughts. And I saw a therapist and it was like, it didn't really help. But then the pandemic ended and it was fine. But I don't feel the need to go to one. I just feel like I need to have my medication, which we've talked about. You said you feel like you don't need it. You said earlier you feel like
I don't have any ADHD meds, but I do have my anxiety and depression meds.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And
then
how
I'm
do
open
the, to talk? So, how do you feel with your medication? So, you take antidepressants. How does the ADHD impact anxiety and depression, because it's very common for people who are ADHD to struggle with anxiety and depression, and sometimes that's what it gets mistaken for. So what's that like?
So my diagnosis is pretty like recent, like in March.
That's recent,
So it's just because something happened and then I had to take the meds.
Of course,
So it was not really, I wasn't really thinking about like ADHD in relation to that.
So, it was something that happened, like a situational. And do you find, so with that medication, is that helping you? Like, that's good and it's positive, because there's so much stigma around taking antidepressants and it just really shouldn't be. So it's working?
Yeah, I think because like the before was like, I could be just crying, eating like my banana. Like, you know, it was just like so bad. Like, even though like the traumatic event has ended.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, afterward, I was just like, I had some dissonance. I was just like, hey, like, I don't understand. And I think I was explaining to my therapist, she's like, can you explain to me, like, because she couldn't understand why it was so intense. And I was like, no one will understand. And I was like, let's just say I was like in the middle of a war zone. And then the next day I got saved. And then a week from then, I'm celebrating Easter in my new home. I'm like, did I just not go through a war? Like, I was just like,
whiplash. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, what? I'm confused about my reality. So having the meds has kind of like made me a bit more see things a bit clearly.
That's really good, because you hear a lot of negative stuff about antidepressants, like it makes you a zombie, it doesn't work, which for some people it doesn't, but for a lot of people it does.
Wrong medicine for them as well.
And the wrong dosage and whatnot. Yeah. So it just, and you said earlier you feel like you're worried, you have a fear that the meds might change you, and my parents had this fear because I went on medication when I was 13 and my parents did not want to medicate me so young, even though they don't think there's anything wrong with being medicated. They were like, that's just very young. Like, what if it changes her personality? It didn't. But there is that, that fear with meds. But if you don't, if you don't feel like you need to take them, then you just don't feel like you need to take them.
I think people who aren't affected by their meds should, like, maybe there's just, we need to put a voice to those people.
Yeah.
Because then we're more informed about, like,
totally
nuances and experiences, right?
Yeah.
But I think when I did take a full dosage of my medicine, I was like drinking water and the water.
Oh yeah. Oh no, no doubt. Like, No. Meds can definitely change you. Like, it's I think it's a myth that, like, if you take ADHD meds, you become weird. Like, no. But I forget to take my meds and I take them, I double dose, like I accidentally double dose, I'm high as a kite. Like, it's really bad. Like, I am insane. I don't know if other people can see how insane I am, but I, like, feel insane and it really changes me. But that's because I've taken too much. It's not because it's not because of the medication and whatnot. So with the anxiety and the depression, how is that perceived in Sweden? Are they, like, open about it? Is it, you know, commonplace or is it taboo? How was it getting the medication and getting the diagnosis? What was that like?
Yeah, no, it was smooth. I think they're very open with giving mental you health. That help. Although, like, there's a backlog in appointments. So
of course.
It is quite difficult as well, especially since the other one, kind of my original therapist, gave birth, so then there's only one person in that clinic, which is like drowning in
of course.
Our healthcare is also, like, what's the word, paid for?
Oh, it's universal healthcare, free healthcare,
but, like, free healthcare, basically
free healthcare, like bulk, like bulk billing, like we have here, where you don't pay. That's awesome.
So it is covered. Like, mental health is covered.
That's awesome.
Which is really cool. And so I'm just like, I have like the option to actually choose. Like, if I need it, yes, it's there. If I don't need it, then it's okay.
That's fantastic.
And then medication-wise, I first got my diagnosis in Manila.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, bro, you know, my stock is running out. So I went to the doctor and I wouldn't say it was, like, hard to get
meds,
like replacement medicines.
Stock up, yeah.
They didn't give me the same thing because EU rules is different from Asia rules, I guess.
Yes.
So they did give me something different, but they are open.
That's good.
Sweden is very, like, let's do sound healing. Let's do
woo woo.
Yeah, I still forest sauna. You know, those kind of things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those things kind of help. I did one last year. I did a retreat last year, and I did an ice bath. Holy shit! I'm from the fucking Philippines, and you guys want me to swim in, like, negative, like, 15 water? And they're like, it's just for, like, you know, 1 second.
It's like, no. But
it was
go fuck good. Yourself.
It was like an awakening. It was crazy.
It was really good. Crazy. Okay. Maybe I need to do one because I always see people, like, I follow a couple of people who they sell it really badly. They're like, I today want to be free like a bird. So I did an ice bath and it's like, just like relax. And then after they do the ice bath, they're like, I feel so free. Like, now all my symptoms are gone. And it's like, okay, like, it's a lot. Like, just no. But I will do an ice bath because apparently it is actually good for you, like, to do ice baths. Like, apparently we should be taking cold showers. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I might try an ice bath.
I could only focus on your breathing. There's nothing else you're focusing on because
it's just like, breathing. You know,
you can't. If you're thinking off the cold, you're going to die.
Yeah, you're going to. Yeah, you just have to think your way through it. Mm, interesting. So it's more holistic, but it's not shunned to take medication in Sweden. Like if you want to do an ice bath or you want to take meds, no one cares.
No.
Like if you tell people you're on medication, are they like, same, which ones? Or is it like, oh, cool, or ill?
I think it's more like, oh, I'm glad you get the help.
That's great.
I think it's more the reaction. And I think, like, I don't think I've met people who are on medication as well. So I think that's, but then most of my friends are Filipino. So I don't know if it's that. Well,
yeah. If it's just, and in the Philippines, what's it like with, I think we touched on it earlier about mental health. How is being on medication for anxiety and depression viewed? Like, is that sort of like, you can have your meds, but we don't talk about it. Like, you just got to deal with it. Like, I remember my grandparents grew up, you know, during the Second World War, and everything that they would describe, I'm like, oh, no. Like, that sounds like depression and anxiety. And they're like, no, it's just having bad memories. And we got over, I'm like, yeah, that's called trauma. Like having bad memories and thinking about them and getting upset. But it's like, you just don't talk about it. Like, we were fine. We made it. We were scared, but we conquered. And that's why we're so stable. It's like, yeah, okay. You weren't very stable, but you know, so how is that in the Philippines? Is it taboo? Is it, what's it like?
I think more and more, like ever since the pandemic, like people are more open to, that's, you know, mental awareness and stuff like that, which is really good. And, you know, I think so many boomers are just, they don't think through that lens. They just say whatever they want to say, right? They're just like, all the aunties are like, oh, why did you get fat? And stuff like that, you know? They're like that.
That's one thing. You know how you know you have ethnic grandparents, where you can tell if they comment on your weight? Like, that's the first thing they say. They're like, why are you so fat and ugly today? It's like, I'm just here. I'm just literally trying to exist. Like, I don't need this right now. Yeah. They didn't have eating disorders back then. Yeah. And they're like, you're fine. It's like, yeah, you clearly didn't have eating disorders back then. Little do you know these comments are hurtful, grandma.
Yeah.
So it's
people are more, people are more like letting to not fight back, but like, that's not a nice thing to say. Like, I'm not here for it. Yeah.
That's good. So, do you find that people around you, like your family and your friends, they're like, you got to do what you got to do? Or are you like, they're a bit less open, or you feel like you can't really tell them? How are they about it? Because my parents are like so open. It's almost a bit annoying at times, but I love them for it. Like, they're very open about that stuff and my ADHD. Mm-hmm. How is it with your community and your circle?
Yeah, no, I think I would say my parents were like a bit like, no way. You know, but I think that's just them because they had me diagnosed. So I think it was more that. But I think when I was kind of like in my acceptance phase, I was like, okay, here's my truth. I've already accepted it. You know, it doesn't matter
what you think
had done before or whatever that doctor said, but this is, I've accepted it. So
it is what
we're speaking from a standpoint where I've already accepted it, and I will be treated as someone with ADHD. So, and then my mom's like, oh shit, maybe I have them too. It's just so funny. She's like, I did a TikTok test. I'm like, girl, you're a doctor.
You're a doctor. I was going to say, get off TikTok, mom. It's
you're
like
a doctor.
Like, it's not, my mom's a Temu victim. She's a TikTok victim. Like, she needs to get off TikTok. We need to not let
not let boomers use social media because they are crazy. They are crazy.
They can be really bad. Like, they can be really wholesome. Like, my mom follows antique pages on Facebook, like, to find antique vases. And I'm like, oh, God bless. And then you just see those weird boomers, like, stitching videos going, this young woman dressed inappropriately, shaking her body. I don't like this. So, okay, get your child to delete your account. We really need to nip this in the bud.
Yeah.
So before we close up, any closing statements, what you want people to know about you, where they can find you and all of that. So leave us with a bit of wisdom from you. Because I think you've imparted a lot of wisdom that people will hear in the first one, but they'll have to go back and listen and there'll be like golden little moments that are really lovely. So what can you give us to top this all off?
I think it would be that, yes, I agree that ADHD can be limiting in some ways.
Of course.
But like, as I said, like it can also be your superpower.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe it's just like reviewing those parts that you've dismissed because it doesn't fit in society's picture perfect standard, right?
Yeah.
Maybe just reviewing them and not, I don't, because I think like people go like, oh, you know, do self-love right away. Love that part of you. Like you can't go from like,
no,
I hate that part of me.
I love it.
You know,
that's
maybe
ridiculous.
Just like review, you know, the stuff you kind of like, you know, push under the rug and then see where that leads up to. And I think like you are so much more capable than you think. That sounds cheesy, but
no, but it's
but
true.
It is true.
Yeah. And people are going to roll their eyes and people are having a bad time, but it is true. We are far more capable than we think.
Yeah.
I'm a Quaker in that way. It's like we are capable of so many great things. And we're told we're not, and we just really are, because look what we're doing.
Yeah.
Like you are on this, I have my podcast, I'm having guests like you, you have your own business, you are running it, and we are capable of doing really good things. And they might not be, like you may not go the same route, like a neurotypical, I went to school, I got my degree, I got the job, I figured it out, I was set. Okay, that's great. I did the degree, I had a few jobs, I didn't know what I was doing, but I got there. And that's the point.
You got this. And like, you know, it doesn't matter the journey if we all end up in the same place.
Yeah.
Because
we all do.
Right?
Yeah.
We all do, yeah.
So where can people find you? Where can they see your beautiful work and your creativity? Where can we find you? Plug yourself.
Yes, you can find me on Instagram. I am Colina Sorrendo, and I'm also sharing my Substack. I started a Substack.
I need to. So. Do you have to pay to do a Substack? Because I want to get onto that. We'll talk about it after. Awesome. Okay. Nice.
And you can start a party there. So I started a podcast there. And apparently you can connect it to Spotify. So I was like, two birds with one stone.
Oh my God. Awesome.
We love efficiency. So
love that.
So yeah.
I will be plugging. I will put that all in the description notes and everything like that. So don't forget to follow Colleen and follow me on all of your favorite streaming and social media platforms. And I'll see you guys in the next episode.